I want to talk about water baptism today. I want to specifically address, first of all, I'm going to teach for a few moments, and then I want to share with you. My message was done. It was complete. It was a great teaching. I feel like it's a solid teaching all about water baptism, why you should get water baptized, answering some of the great questions about water baptism. And then the Holy Spirit just dropped a truth bomb on me yesterday morning as I was here in the office preparing my heart to get ready for this sermon. And so I'm going to end with that. But let's start with water baptism. Well, if you want to start a fight on your street, talk about somebody's mama, right? If you want to start a fight in church, talk about water baptism. Because folks have come from all kinds of different backgrounds and different situations, and everybody thinks that they did it the right way or that you're doing it the wrong way, and everybody has different opinions. And I want to clarify some things this morning, and I don't want to start any fights. I want to clarify some things. I think it's very, very important because of all of our backgrounds that there's some things that we need to understand about water baptism. Father, I'm praying right now for a specific, targeted, laser-focused anointing from the Holy Spirit right now. God, I pray for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so many different backgrounds. Some people would say baptism is not necessary to have a relationship with God, and other people would say that you have to be baptized to have a relationship with God, or that it's mandatory to be a part of this church. Yada, yada, yada. You're going to find people say all kinds of different things, that it's something you have to do. Is baptism something I have to do? No, it's something you get to do. It's an awesome experience. One of the most meaningful experiences you can have as a Christian is water baptism. And I want to make sure that I dispel any myths today, but I also want to take it to the next level. Even in my own heart, what the Holy Spirit dropped in me, I think after all these years of ministry, it's taken on a brand new or fresh meaning for me today. The scripture tells us about what it is to be water baptized. And let me answer a couple of quick questions. First of all, let's look at the scripture, and let me back up and say this. There's a story of the Ethiopian who was studying scriptures, and Philip comes along and explains what he was reading. Tells him how to get saved, tells him that Jesus is the Son of God. The Ethiopian gives his heart to Christ, and here's where you pick up the story. It says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I love this guy's spirit. I just gave my heart to the Lord. Let's get baptized. Let's make this happen. He'd already heard about other people getting baptized. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Hear this. Baptism is not a denominational idea. It's a biblical idea. It's a biblical concept. It is a foundational concept. Baptism by immersion is the biblical way that a believer professes their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what is the meaning of baptism? Very quickly, the word there, baptism, comes from a word baptizo, which literally means to dunk under or to submerge. A very common term that you would have heard used at that time frame when the scriptures were written and or translated. Baptizo, to drown. We might do that today. to dunk them all the way under. It's a very common word. They go under the water and they come up. And the scripture says, Mark chapter 1, John came baptizing them in the wilderness and preaching a baptizing of repentance for the remission of sins. John came along and preached about an outward sign of an inward decision that you've made in your life to follow Jesus Christ. Because of that, John the Baptist was known as John the Baptizer. It's not really John the Baptist. That's what we've termed him. John was way too weird to be a part of the Baptist church. They'd have kicked him out. His hair was way too long, Pastor James. I can't wait to see you eat a locust one of these days. All I know is this. John came baptizing in the wilderness for the remission of sins. And when John baptized, he baptized in the Jordan River. And here's why he baptized in the Jordan River. John chapter 3 says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptized in Anon near Siloam because there was much water there. much water there. And they came and were baptized. John was going down in the water with the person who wanted to be baptized, and he would dunk them under and hold them under. And the demonstration is that there's a death and a burial and a resurrection that happens. Why does it matter? Why is the method so important? Again, because if you change the method, you kind of change the meaning. And I'm going to get to the overall meaning by the end of this, but just understand this. We're following the Lord in baptism. Everyone say follower. Imitator. Okay, as we're doing this, know that in the back of your mind. It matters. Romans 6 says, do you not know that many of us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. Wow. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You want to walk in the newness of life, follow the Lord in water baptism. Identify with him in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This paints a total picture of what's going on. Colossians 2 says this, that we're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism is probably the greatest picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we follow the Lord in water baptism, we're literally following him in the same manner, in the same likeness. But no, we don't have to get crucified. He did. The second question is, who should be baptized? Very simply, for time's sake, if you believe, get baptized. In fact, it's called many times the believer's baptism. It's not just a baptism. It's a believer's baptism. In fact, baptism in and of itself, the word in and of itself, is kind of meaningless unless you put the word believer before it. It's the believer's baptism. Once you believe, you're baptized. The believer's baptism. And the scripture says in Acts 2, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, stop for a minute. 3,000 souls were... Wait a minute, this is the account of the early church. This is the account of the Holy Spirit falling upon the saints in the upper room and them getting filled with the Spirit. And 3,000 of them were added to the church that day. And the Bible says that they went out and baptized them. Well, I always thought, that's amazing. What a powerful thing. 3,000 people came to Christ in one moment. But what about 3,000 people going out and getting baptized? Talk about stirring something up. And doing it publicly in front of people. Acts chapter 8 says, when they believed, Philip, as he preached these things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts 18 says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Believe and were baptized. Believers get baptized. Baptism by immersion is the biblical way that a believer professes to the world around them their faith in Christ Jesus. And I love the fact that we do it at the beach because it's out in the open. And we used to have a little hot tub back here. Some of you all used to be this. We had a little dunk tank here. It was awesome. You know, we would dunk them and they'd be here in a room, in the air conditioned room full of all their friends and family. And we're clapping and it's awesome. Pretty safe though. Compared to the context of when people were getting baptized back in the day. They were converting from religion to relationship. And in the conversion from religion to relationship, they made a public declaration that I'm walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I've often said we should hire some hecklers to come out at the beach. Just people that say, you guys are nuts, you're crazy. Well, it's hard to argue with 3,000 people getting saved and baptized. It's pretty cool. That'd be an awesome thing to happen today, Lord. That'd be wonderful. When should we be baptized? Really quickly. Well, ASAP. As soon as possible. All right? As soon as possible. You believe, you get baptized. You believe, you get baptized. We know what it means to get baptized. It's identifying the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We know that believers should be baptized. But when should we do it? As soon as possible. The scripture says that Paul was in jail. God does a miracle and sends an earthquake. The earthquake happens. The jailer freaks out. What's going to happen? don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. They end up going home, having dinner, and this amazing thing happens. And he asked the Philippian jailer, took Paul home that night, and he wanted to hear about how God, about this God who sent the earthquake, this God that set them free from their bondages. And he tells them all about him, shares the gospel with them. And look what happens in this account. Here's where we pick up the story. It says he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the man that brought them home and said, "Tell me about your God that just set everybody free, that freaked me out. Tell me about this God." He says, "What must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour, of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Interesting. Do you know this story? This sounds like an awesome story. They got saved. They went out and got baptized. Great thing. You know, this story started at midnight. The beginning of this story says around midnight, Paul and Silas began to worship God. I don't know how long they worshiped God. God's, you know, maybe he listened to it for a little bit. "Oh, that sounds really good. That's awesome. I'll shake him loose." Okay. I don't know how long he waited, but all I know is they started worshiping God. The jail shakes. This whole thing happens. He goes home and gets him saved. And then that night, I'm going to guess about 3:30 in the morning, they went out and got baptized. That was how serious they were about making a public declaration that they were going to follow Jesus Christ in baptism. That's how it works. In fact, the scriptures will tell us, I'll just make a very bold statement, and you can come back to me and share with me if you find it. But there's no record of an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. There's no record of someone who was saved and then said, "I believe and I love the Lord, but I'm really not ready for that baptism stuff yet." Or, "I know I need to get baptized, but I just keep putting it off. I'll get around to it at some point." There's no account of that in the scriptures. It says right after they believed, they were not only baptized, but they wanted to be baptized. They wanted to be baptized. Let me back up and say something real quick here, because in case you get off into the weeds and hear something I didn't say, I'm not prescribing some sort of legalistic thing, because we serve a God of grace and a God of mercy who judges hearts and intentions, and it's not about the specifics. I'm preaching the true north, the scriptures. But what, well, Pastor, what about the guy in the middle of the desert that doesn't have any way to get baptized and he's got a thimble full of water? Dunk the thimble full of water over yourself and get baptized, because it's all about your heart. I've baptized people in their hospital bed. I've dumped enough water on until the doctor said, "Stop dumping water on them." I'm just saying. You say, "Well, is it about sprinkling? Is it about this? Is it about that?" We believe in the total immersion thing. We get all that. But understand this, God is a judge of hearts. That's where it's at. It's about you coming to God with your whole heart and following him with your whole heart into water baptism. Is a powerful thing. But here's what I want to say. If you, "Well, I've already been baptized. I've already been sprinkled." Here's what I want to say. Let's take it to the next level. I want your faith to rise up this morning. I know what God's about to do in your hearts. I just know it. I can sense it in my spirit. Well, when should we get baptized? ASAP, as soon as you believe. And then why should I get baptized? Well, two extreme camps. This one's real personal for me, but I'll share a personal testimony. Two extreme camps of the beliefs about baptism. One says you have to get baptized to get to heaven. You have to get baptized to have a relationship with God. You're not saved unless you're baptized. Stop. I got baptized as a little baby. I'm not against it. I just don't think it does anything for you, because the reality of it is, if baptism is a decision you make to follow Christ in your heart. And so it's something you make consciously. And so, and plus, by the way, we believe in immersion. So, yeah, dunk a two-year-old underwater or a two-month-old underwater and hold them there for it. It's kind of not smart. But anyway, just technically, it's not good. But I do believe in baby dedication, and I understand the concept. But I was baptized as a baby. Then later on, when I was 17 years old and I was going to a Pentecostal church, I had a great relationship with the Lord. I'd been filled with the Spirit. I'd been walking with the Lord. I was chasing him with my whole heart. I felt like he loved me, and I definitely loved him. And I felt like with my whole heart. And then all of a sudden, we had this conversation one day. We're sitting around, and a couple of guys called me out and said, "Have you been baptized yet?" I said, "Yeah, I was baptized." I mean, I didn't know anything. I was greener than green. "Yeah, I was baptized as a baby." "Well, you're not going to heaven." The heck, man? What? And like, I think I turned white, maybe. I don't know, because it was shocking. Now, these people were like elders and stuff. What do you mean I'm not going to heaven? Well, no, no, you can't go to heaven unless you're baptized. And in fact, you can't even be a member of this church unless you're baptized. And you need to get baptized. And I said, well, sign me up. I don't want to go to hell. Like I thought everything was good. I thought things were going right, but I thought we were in good relationship with the Lord. But you're telling me I'm going to go to hell if I don't get baptized. And so what did I do? I did what they told me I had to do in order to. It had nothing to do with what was going on in my heart. In fact, the reality was, it was already settled in my heart. They introduced the insecurity. Whoa. That's the first time you heard that in three sermons. Look how legalism can introduce insecurity to the believer. There's a mess. I just want to pause for a minute. Holy Spirit, thank you. There is a message right there that I can't wait for you to unpack in my heart in the next couple weeks. Wow. Wow. Legalism leads to believers' insecurity. Well, that's one camp says you have to be baptized. The other says that's no big deal. It's not a big deal. You don't have to be baptized to get saved to have a relationship with God. It's not necessary. Well, the truth is kind of right in the middle, because the reality of it is, what do you do with the person that never had a chance to get baptized? You know, the one camp says they're going to hell. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What about the thief on the cross? They didn't baptize him, did they? Wow. He made a decision, right, at least that I know of. There's no account of it. So what about those people that come to Christ? What about the person that comes to Christ on their deathbed? I think it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the believer. Baptism is not just a symbol. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something we go through that's kind of cute and fun. It's the next step. In the shower this morning, it hit me that sometimes we've treated baptism like we treat birthdays. We just treat baptism like blowing out the candles on a cake. It's just that. So they blew out the candles. That's awesome. It's supernatural. What God is doing at the moment of water baptism. When your heart is in the right spot and you're following God, God is doing something amazing and supernatural. Why baptism is such a big deal for the believer? It's a sign to the world around you that you've made a decision in your heart. It's a little bit like why I wear a wedding ring. I made a decision. My wife knows my decision. But don't get on me if you don't see me with my wedding ring on. Relax. But I made a decision to wear my wedding ring because basically I'm letting the world know, hey, off limits. Never mind, that was way too dumb. Three reasons why you should get baptized, believers should get baptized. First of all, God commands it. It's a command. Well, Pastor, you just said, God commands it, and we know that the scriptures command it, and yes, there are always going to be these people that are going to come up with some sort of a loophole. What about that person? What about... God's a God that's just. Here's what he says in the scriptures. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. The reason why we're baptizing people down at the beach today is not because it sounds like a fun thing to do, not because it's our annual fun big event. It's all of that, but it's because God commands us to do it. The second reason is Jesus was baptized. We're actually following in his footsteps. A man who knew no sin was baptized to show us a better way. He knew no sin. He was baptized. So Jesus was baptized, and I claim to be a follower. In fact, Paul talks about being an imitator of Christ. So if I'm going to imitate him, then water baptism is a solid way to imitate the Father. Amen? And lastly, it's the way you profess your faith. I've already mentioned it in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit dropped on me yesterday. There's many things about church, capital C. This is not the portion of the sermon. Aaron, I have serious ADD. Close that door at the sound booth because I can hear every bit of it. It is closed. That kid's got lungs like no other. That's a prophetic lung. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name for peace over that child. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I feel like. See, Holy Spirit's going to get this out. Nothing's going to stop it. I'm not a guy that likes to rip on the church, but some things disturb me sometimes about the church. Capital C, not this church. We're awesome. The rest of them are messed up. But some things do disturb me about the church sometimes. And here's the thing. Long after the fads and the phases fade, there's going to be the foundations. And water baptism is one of the foundations. It's one of the initial foundations of the early church. Long after the fog machines run out of fog and the laser beams stop lasering and the worship team doesn't have the words on the screen and the guitars are in tune or out of tune, long after the fads and the phases leave the church are the foundations. And water baptism is one of the foundational things that the believer does to declare their faith in Jesus Christ. Can't be about those other things. Not only about those things. Are those things wonderful? Yeah. Anybody else want to do worship with overhead transparencies again? I kind of like the projector. It's kind of cool. Will it save me? Is it foundational? Is it fun? Is it okay? Absolutely. You hear my heart. Water baptism is not, it's one of the foundations of Christianity. And if we're not careful, we can get more excited about entertainment than being equipped. My role as the pastor of this church, as a pastor, my role is equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My role is to give you something on Sunday morning, something on a Saturday night that you can take with you. You're equipped to be able to go out into the world and approach your world in such a way that you can walk out your faith in Jesus Christ. It's my role to equip you. As your pastor, I'm much more concerned with equipping you than I am in entertaining you. I want you to be entertained. I want you to have fun. I want you to laugh at church. That's why I throw stuff in there sometimes. Mostly because I just can't help it. My brain goes all over the place. I do want that. But let me say this. If you got baptized in water just because someone said you had to, you've been served a great injustice. Wow. Yeah. Baptism is not a ritual. It's not a religious exercise. It's a supernatural event that you enter into because you enter into resurrection life because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus Christ did. That's baptism. There's three groups of people that I really want to address today. Three groups of people that I feel like today you need to hear this from me. And by the way, we have a sign-up sheet. And if you don't sign up, that's okay. It's fine. But we would, you, by the end of this sermon, some of you may want to get baptized. And there's three people that I'm really addressing today. And I want to make sure you hear me very clearly. If you've never been baptized since you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, today's your day. I want to encourage you as soon as possible. I'd be the first one in the water today if I'm you. I'm just saying, it's not about insecurity. It's about, boy, let's get on with it. Let's get on with walking with Christ. The second thing is maybe you're like the person that I described of myself earlier on. You had a past. You had an experience. You called it conversion. You converted your life to Christ. You maybe even followed the Lord in baptism. But the reality of it is that decision and subsequent baptism time didn't produce in you the fruit of repentance that you thought it would. In other words, you kept kind of hanging on to some old stuff. You decided that maybe you could have a little bit of both worlds. And this morning, as you're hearing my heart expressed, or hearing God's heart expressed through my words today, you come to this moment and you know in your heart that things aren't exactly right. And this is a chance for you to make it right, to follow the Lord in baptism. You should get baptized, because when you get baptized, there's a significant change that could happen. If you were taught the wrong pathway of following Christ, I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me today, but the pathway of following Christ includes a cross. In fact, he says every day we should take up our cross and follow him. Does that mean that you have to every single day get crucified? No, because he did. You don't have to get crucified. The pathway, if you were taught that the pathway of Christianity was all just, you know, you get saved and you just kind of go on about your business and do things. And, you know, it's kind of like getting a gym card in January. Just to feel good that you know you're going to do it. But by February, you can, you know, throw cats through the... Sorry about you cat lovers. You can throw cats through the gym and not hit anybody. You know what I'm talking about. Christianity kind of we can reduce it to something like that. We have this experience. See, if you live exactly the same way you did before you were saved, then you've bought into something far less fulfilling than biblical Christianity. Let me say that again. It's probably the most important thing I'm going to say all day. If you think that you can live exactly the same way you did before you were saved, you've bought into something far less fulfilling, far less than the destiny that God has for your life. So much less. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And it's the idea of grace that if your idea of grace is this, and some people have this mindset, They won't say it because I think they'd be embarrassed that they actually said it out loud. Because as soon as I say this, you're going to go, no. But here's what some people's idea of grace is. I gave my heart to Jesus and he's full of grace. And so I can keep on sinning and he'll be graceful to me. He'll be gracious towards me. Well, he is a gracious God and a merciful God. And the Bible says he's even a patient God. He's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But understand this. Jesus Christ did not die on a cross to change the label you wear. He died on the cross to change your lifestyle. To change who you are once and for all. This thing has got to rock your character. This conversion to Jesus Christ has got to rock your character, affect your morals, change your integrity, and lead you into biblical holiness. He said the H word. It's 2019. Is it 2019? Yeah. 2019. I could have went 85 on you, but he said holiness. Well, I know holiness isn't popular, but it's still powerful. The problem that happens is we've all got a different idea of what holiness is. In fact, you can join a different group and they'll tell you a different thing. Everybody's got a sliding scale of what holiness is. And everybody, in fact, I'm probably going to hell because I wore shorts to church today. 1st time in the history of my ministry that I preached with shorts on a Sunday morning. I feel released. Y'all coming into your flip-flops and Chargers jerseys and I'm just playing. But you can see what happens. We can get all legalistic and weird about this and call it's holiness. And you'll join a church that'll give you the 10 things you have to do and the 73 things you're not allowed to do anymore. We'll give you a list. The list of stuff we can't do is much longer than the list of stuff we can do. We're upside down, church. I'm telling you, holiness is powerful. You were water baptized. This is the three people. Person that's never been baptized, the person that's baptized in the past, and it means something more. You're coming to a greater sense of it. And then the third person is the baptism that you just didn't have a true revelation about what it was about. It just wasn't real for you. In other words, you need your own personal revelation of what baptism is. If you got baptized without that real revelation, you missed out on some fullness and some significance. This is not something you do because the church people tell you to do it. It's real personal for me because that almost scarred me in my Christianity and in my walk with Christ. That was a tough moment for me. Water baptism is something you do because on the other side of water baptism, there's a righteousness that you can rise into that God wants to lead you in, and it leads you to righteous desires rather than unrighteous desires. On the other side of baptism, you don't just come out all wet. You come out having been made new with the power and the authority and the victory of Jesus Christ. You're made alive in Christ, the Bible says. You and I identify with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and we're made alive. And something supernatural happens in the spiritual realm, but even in your heart and in your mind. Yeah. I've seen people come out of the water addicted, and come out with zero addiction. Zero feeling of addiction, never to return again. I've seen people's world completely rocked during water baptism. I've seen people get water baptized and come out speaking in tongues. I've seen people coming out just worshiping God like they've never worshiped him before. I've seen people come out crying. They're wetter from their tears than they were from the water. Because there was a supernatural thing happening. Nick was a gentleman in our church in Merced when I was 19 years old. Nick had destroyed his physical body. He destroyed his heart through drug abuse. And he went in, he was having lots of chest pains and all that through many years of drug abuse. He'd stopped, but by this time he'd already done a ton of damage. He went to the doctor. They did a bunch of tests. They said, you absolutely are going to need a heart transplant. But the bad news is you're not getting one. We're not putting you on the transplant. The insurance is not going to do it. We're not going to do it. You did this to yourself. You're just going to have to live with the consequences of it. We're sorry. And they rejected him for a heart transplant. Well, now He not only, now he's given his life to Jesus, he's been following Jesus, but now he's got like literally a death sentence. He's got like an expiration date, basically. Doesn't know when it is, but he knows it's going to happen. So he tells the pastor that he wants to get baptized. And so they did the baptism. He gets baptized. He comes out of the water and didn't say anything at the time. He comes out of the water, goes home. A couple days after that, he's realizing, I've had chest pains for months. I don't have any chest pain. And he's like in a little bit of disbelief. So about 2 weeks later, he makes an appointment to go see his cardiologist, who obviously they know each other. And the cardiologist brings him in. He says, you know, I've been feeling better, doc. He said, well, let's run some tests, see what's going on. So what's going on in your heart? And he'd been trying to do things right and all that. But bottom line is the doctor comes back after all the tests and he says, I can't believe this. I'm looking at it and I can't believe it with my own eyes. Said, if I didn't know any better, I'd ask you where the scar is. Because it's almost as if you've had a heart transplant. And Nick looked back at him and says, well, there's no scar here, but there's two scars on his hands. And if you look carefully, there's one right in his side. Jesus paid the price for his healing. There's something, I'm believing today, that something supernatural. The people who are in bondage are going to be set free. The people who've been living lives far below God's destiny for them are going to rise to a new breath of destiny in your life. I'm believing for that today. I'm believing that every single time I dunk somebody, people told me this was happening last year. I love it. I can't wait to see video of it. But every single time I dunk somebody, your sin's going to scare the fish out of the water. Because that's what it was happening last year. Fish were jumping. Every time I dumped somebody, there were fish were jumping. I'm like, I mean, they cast demons into pigs, so I'm just saying. Let me just finish with this. Two major thoughts. These are hot off the Holy Ghost press. Is that okay? If someone told you, come on, get baptized, it won't kill you, they were lying. Because that's exactly what it's intended to do. I'm not going underwater and coming back the same. I'm believing by faith. The same faith that saved me when I prayed a prayer. Nothing changed. My physical environment didn't change. The temperature of the room didn't change. All I know is I prayed a prayer, asked Jesus to come into my life. And in that moment, I went from death to life. You want to see signs and wonders and miracles in this church? I want to see them too. But I'll tell you what, the greatest miracle you can ever see is someone going from death to life in a moment that they make a decision to follow Christ. I'm believing for miraculous things to happen, for supernatural things to happen. And if they told you it won't kill you, the reality of it is it's absolutely supposed to kill you. You. The old you. That's supposed to be buried and dead. It's exactly what it's supposed to do. Some of you today, if you'll let me, I'll hold you under a little longer. Some of y'all, I know you, you're seven bubble baptism people. I got to hold you under until seven big bubbles come up, and then it's all good. A number of completion. I didn't just pull that out. Okay. Seventh bubble, they're complete. All right, sweet. No, I'm having fun with it, but listen. Before you enter the water, you're going to have to make a choice to die to you. Die to your sinful desires. See, some people stay in sin because they like it. This is a supernatural thing that God's doing. You're going to die to those old desires. And let me just quote my friend Rob. You have to be done. When you turn away and repent, you've got to be done with the old man. And I'm not getting dunked and coming back the same thing. I don't want. What's the point? I better die. And you know, Pastor, does that mean sometimes old desires don't want to come back and haunt me? Oh, absolutely. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's absolutely going to come at you with your old desires. He's going to come at you with some old things. Hey, that's what's going to happen. But the reality of it is you don't have to listen to that idiot. He's a liar. He's just singing one song. He's a liar running out of breath. Guess what? He's also running out of time. My Father is coming back for his church. I'm just telling you right now. So some of us will get baptized, and maybe you've had this experience. And maybe because of this experience where you got baptized and then your past kind of came back and tried to haunt you and accuse you and push you back down. And maybe you even succumbed to some of it. And then you thought to yourself, well, it must not have been real. It didn't get real. And you're here at this place today and you're going, yeah, you know what? I got baptized and I got saved. But man, I really have struggled in that area for it. I want you to know you don't have to. There's real freedom here. You can be set free forever. And so here's your chance. Get baptized again. Let's just see what God might do supernaturally. One of the greatest pictures of New Testament baptism, the greatest pictures of what Christ did for us. I believe it's a type and a shadow of what I'm describing to you today. And I'll end with this. You know the story. The Israelites are in bondage. Very much like you and I were in bondage to our sins and in bondage to something. They were in bondage. They were in total captivity. Moses goes and he's asked to lead them out of bondage and into the promised land. So he does what he's supposed to do. And he takes 3.5 million people and they start walking out across the desert to the promised land. As they're heading to the promised land, they're walking. Everybody say walking. Yeah. 3.5 million people trying to get somewhere. I can't even get my family through the mall. Stop at Cinnabon, you know, there's too many distractions. And by the way, 3.5 million people, no birth control. They had to stop and let Marge give birth once in a while. They had a lot of distractions along the way, not to mention the fact that they were whiners and complainers. So plenty of distractions, 3.5 million people trying to get somewhere. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh decides, send out my finest men, my finest chariots and my finest horses, they're well trained, and go down and get them. Go back and fetch them back. And so his desire is to bring them back into captivity, just like your old desires want to bring you back into captivity. But what happens in the story? Well, they come up against the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea. What are we going to do now? We can't go forward because there's water there. We can't go backward because we can hear the horses, those things back there. I almost said hoof prints or something. Anyway, you can't hear a hoof print. Anyway. So they're being chased. Now they can't even go this way because they're going to get destroyed and they're going to be taken back into captivity. So Moses lifts up the rod or a staff, or if for these purposes, just like Jesus was raised up on a cross. And salvation comes because the Bible says that the water is stacked up. I love King James says, stacked up on heaps. 60 feet tall, 6 stories of water on either side. And the Bible says that they walked across on dry land, which is awesome because my God didn't just lift up the water in heaps. He made it dry so they wouldn't get stuck in the mud. He made sure they got to the other side and they weren't delayed in any way. My God knows how to make a way where there seems to be no way. And so you think you're messed up in your sin and there's no way out of it. You're messed up in your addiction and there's no way out of it. I'm telling you right now, God's making a way for you today. And you can follow them. So they get, they're going and they can hear and they see the army, the Egyptian army chasing them down. And they're getting to the other side. I can just imagine them going, come on, they're coming. You know, the last few people, 3.5 million people, right? Okay. And then by this time, you can do it. I believe that we will win. They're all cheering, trying to get them across. The last person steps across. And at that moment, with all the Egyptian armies chasing them down in the midst of the Red Sea, the Bible says that the waters crashed in over the top of them. Burying their past forever, burying their captors forever, burying the things that kept them in bondage forever. And they were walking into freedom in Christ Jesus, which lets me know, quite frankly, that you might feel like today that there's something attempting to catch up with you. And I want you to know that when you follow the Lord in baptism, God's going to deliver you from it forever. And it doesn't have to come back. Well, what if I get tempted again? It'll just curse it. Cast it down. Don't get tempted again. Stop. You got a choice. Every single time the temptation comes up, don't. Just stop. Don't do it. I love that. I can just imagine and picture this picture that even I sense that I made a decision, but then my past keeps coming up. Here's the thing. All of us can kind of almost get our minds around God loves me and He forgives me. We can even get our minds around, my friends have forgiven me for my sin. But what we really have a hard time with is forgiving ourselves. We struggle and we stumble with forgiving ourselves. we keep thinking that somehow this thing that we did is so wrong. And so it's buried, it's dead, it's in the past. If you follow the Lord in water baptism today, something supernatural is going to happen. And that thing is buried forever. 35 years ago, they sent divers into the Red Sea. You know what they found? Chariot wheels and bridles for horses. By the way, don't go back and dig something up just to see if it was real. Ooh, that was good, Holy Spirit. I don't know if this was real. Let me go back and dig it up. You go back, lest you get tempted. Tempted to fall back in that same old thing. I'm telling you right now, church, I want you to hear my heart. I believe that today, for many of you, as you go down in the water, it's a death going down in the water, a burial, and a resurrection.